Okay, and now that we are set, and I'm still getting used to this thing, so y'all got to bear with me, but hey, we are here, so like I said, folks, we're going to get started on this tonight, so, you know, if Dota shows up, that's fine, you know, I am going to record this so I can upload it, but I kind of made some changes to this, but this was a lesson or a message that I preached on just past Sunday night at church. I was filling in for the pastor, so he gave me some trigger time to be up there in the mornings and evenings. So I hope that y'all enjoy this, and I hope that it might speak to your hearts, folks. I got a question to ask. Has anyone at one time worried? So you can type an amen or yes. You know, I can't see you, but, you know, you raise your hand. But I asked this question, you know, Sunday night, and I always kind of think about it when I talk to people. But that's why I asked, has anyone at one time worried? I know I have. I know we all have, you know. So I'm not asking you to reveal to yourself that you did or not. But you know what? Also, when you worried, did worry drive you up the wall? Was worrying hard on you? And during times of worry, did it affect your thought process while worrying? I know it has a few times for me. You know, I know we shouldn't, but it has. But what about this? When you worry, did it cause you to be under a lot of stress? How about this question? Do you know what worry would do to you and the cause it has on the body, the spirit, and the mind? Now, I don't know if anybody's ever given that any thought of what worry does to a person, but it does adversely affect the body, it does adversely affect the mind, and it does affect the spirit. Now, like I said, I know we all have worried from time to time. And if you're like me, we're told, in accordance to God's word, we're not to worry. In tonight's message, I would like for us to understand what worry is and how we can learn the effects it has on us, and to show us how we can get past the worrying part we face at times. So if you got your Bibles, let's turn to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Let me open mine up real quick too. And we're going to be starting in verse 25 through 30. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 through 30. Let me get there real quick. And it says right here, therefore, isn't Jesus talking now, folks? It says, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, whether what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither soil or sow, nor reap, nor gather into the barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more value than they? And which of you, being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? O you of little faith, therefore do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, what shall we wear? Let's bow our heads and pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we come to you tonight and we ask of you just to be with us this short little time. I thank you for allowing these folks to show up here tonight. Thank you for giving us this technology to use tonight. I know because of you, this was made possible for us to gather. I know we got a few numbers, but we're still trying. I know it's a mighty hard thing to compete to those bigger sites out there, which is offering more stuff besides real biblical truth. They got the money, they got the programs, they got the folks, you know, Father. For whatever reason why we still hanging on or just struggling or just barely getting by. Honestly, I wish it was more. I wish we had more people. I wish we can do more things. But, you know, for some particular reason, you allowed us just to be for whatever we are. So, I'm just going to see what you're going to want with this and where you're going to want to lead us and whether or not we should continue with this or not. I just don't know. I mean, I had sensed nothing from you yet. But, you know, I'm not going to try to worry about it too much because, you know, we're just going to be what we are, you know. And, Father, I got people here tonight. I don't know if they have things on their mind and they kind of worrying, you know, and this message is not to really try to make them feel bad that worrying is bad. But, you know, it's just natural for human beings to worry. I know it's a trust issue. I know we got to look forward to you. I know we got to look up to you. I know we got to just trust in you. I know we got to do a lot of things, and sometimes it's hard to do, and sometimes easier said than done. So I ask of you to bless those who are here tonight, put a protective hedge around them, let them know that you love them, and let them know that you're there, and show them that you can help them in whatever situation they are facing. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus, and we ask of you just to help us gather together. In his name we all pray. Amen. So as you kind of got the title a little bit, you know, I told you a little bit earlier I had a change up. I started editing the other message I originally was going to speak on tonight, which was Fruit of the Spirit. But, you know, he placed this on my heart to lead me into this direction. This was something that I started to work on. I didn't finish it, so I kind of finished it up tonight. So you kind of bear with me. You know, this may be a first run of this, but that's why I titled this message, Worry. What is it? Now, generally, I think we all can kind of get a general idea of what worry really is. I'm sure all of us at some time or another can think of different definitions of worry. But as I was researching, trying to find what I call a good start to try to do what I call basically as an introduction, you know, to try to, you know, to start us off into the path that we need to think about during the message. So in this introduction, I found in this book, it's called Papyrus Ebers. It's a medical book written in Egypt around 1552 BC. Now, in that book, we are told that people who lived more than 3,000 years ago worried about some of the same things we worry about today. Now, I found that kind of amusing because, you know, I think, well, wait a minute. 3,000 years ago, they worried about some of the same things we worry about today. I'm kind of thinking, really? I kind of don't think so. You know, I know 3,000 years back compared to times in Egypt to our times today, there's a lot more going on. But, you know, according to what I was reading in this little book I found on the internet, it says, yeah, you know, they're worried about the same things. See, in this medical book, there's a remedy, in which I found kind of amusing, to prevent hair from turning gray. Now, the reason why I caught on to that, because a lot of people says, don't worry, because it's going to turn your hair gray. You know, I don't have much left on my head. It's starting to fall out and stuff, but a lot of it's turning gray. But I just come to the point to realize I'm just going to allow it to be gray. But actually, you got a lot of people out there worried about their hair turning gray. Now, what this book suggested, that one anoint his or her hair with the blood of a black calf that has been boiled in oil or the fat of a rattlesnake. To keep one from losing hair, this book also suggests that one apply a mixture of six fats to his hair, namely those of the horse, the hippopotamus, crocodile, cat, snake, and ibex. I'm going to have to look that up a little bit later and find out what ibex is, you know. But that's what it suggests, that one applies that mixture of six fats to their hair to keep it from turning gray.
like I said earlier, I think I'm just going to let my hair fall out instead of worrying about it turning gray or worrying about it falling out. I'm just going to accept the fact that it's going to happen. So, well, these poor folks back there are worried about that. So, what is worry? Well, again, I looked up the definition term, and it says this: to give way to anxiety or unease, allowing one's mind to dwell on difficulties or troubles. Now, most people would say that worrying is pointless and a waste of time and energy. Now, tonight, I submit to you that it is actually harmful. Now, you think about it, and here's why I say it's actually harmful if we worry. Friends, worry is fear-based. You understand that? Worrying is fear-based. Now, we all know throughout all our years of experience as being a Christian and studying the Bible that Satan, you know, I'm trying not to give glory to him, but he has a mass arsenal of tools to attack us. He uses every form and angle, whatever he can do, to come at you. That dude's crafty. And I'm not trying to make him feel good or whatever, or lift him up, or however you want to call it, you know. But I'm just telling you, you know, he has many tricks up his sleeves because, again, as I always keep telling people, he has 6,000 years to study us. But that's why I'm saying, folks, worry is fear-based. If he could put that fear in you and the fear gets you to start worrying, it can cause you to lose your focus. It can cause you to have many distractions. It can cause you pain. It can cause your stomach to turn into knots. It can cause you to become afraid. It can cause you to do many things, folks. Because what's going on right there with worry, it's a projection of negative energy. Now, I'm not going to get into mysticism, or however you pronounce it. You know how people claim that you got to have these rocks and these crystals and this, and you know, and you got to channel all the energy and that karma to you. Folks, I don't believe in none of that. We had a little fellow in here a little bit earlier who was talking that nonsense, and eventually I had to put him out the room because you know what? The energy we should be focused on is Jesus Christ himself crucified on the cross. That's it. Nothing else. All that other nonsense in the world is just that. Nonsense. But folks, believe it or not, you know, y'all heard the expression, therefore you think, therefore you are. You start thinking negative, you're going to be negative. You start thinking positive, you're going to be positive. Will y'all agree with that? I know many people will try to say, you know, quit being so negative. Well, sometimes it's hard when you're dealing with things and you're dealing with life difficulties. It does drag you down. Some folks will get depressed over that. But you know, the key element to getting through all this, folks, is, and you know, and I heard this other expression, I'm sure y'all have too, is to turn that frown upside down, which means you can have a smiley face. But yes, we do worry at times, and yes, sometimes we do let it get the best of us. The reason why I say it's a projection of negative energy because, see, folks, worry is a form of thinking that can be stressful if taken to extremes. Key features of worry are that it is repetitive and non-productive. When we are worrying, we are thinking about something over and over and over and over and over and over again. But it does not resolve the situation, or it does not help us arrive at a solution to the problem. It doesn't. All it does is causes more undue stress on you, period. It causes your nerves to be shot to heck, as we would say it. That's why I said the negative energy in us, because, you know, when you start getting in that worrying stage, all it does is bring you down. That's all it does. That's all it's good for. According to the Bible, my friends, and I will emphasize this, there's nothing wrong with realistically acknowledging and trying to deal with the identical problems of life. There's nothing wrong with that. I just want y'all to be clear on this. But to ignore danger is fooling and wrong. But it is also wrong as well as unhealthy to be immobilized by excessive worrying. Such worry must be committed to prayer to God, who can release us from paralyzing fears or anxieties and free us to deal realistically with the needs and welfare both of others and of ourselves. But yet, in today's times, and this is something I have seen, I'm pretty sure you have too, but in today's times, we have seen a major increase in worrying. So what's causing all this increase in worries? To understand this, folks, we first must look at the causes of worry before we examine what worry really is. Well, let's look at the causes of worrying. And they are, drugs is one of them. From every indication, however, we are worrying more now than ever before. And if you look at this, you will see where I'm going at with this. At least one out of every six Americans, well, let's just say one out of, I'm just using this as a poll that was on, I forgot, some medical site I got this off. It just polled Americans, so it didn't poll really people in the world. But it said one out of every six Americans takes some kind of pill to change his or her mental attitude. One out of six. I don't know how many Americans is in the United States. I think a billion, maybe more, but one out of six is taking some sort of pill to change our mental attitude. Folks, we become nothing but a nation of pill takers. And if you really read the news, you know, they're talking about how the United States, but not just the United States, but the world is even in what they call an opioid addiction. They call it an opioid crisis. People are taking pain pills to kill the pain. Most of them is because they're feeling so messed up inside. They want to feel numb all the time so they don't feel pain. Because they're worrying all the time, so stressed out, so give me a pill to take it so I don't worry about worrying. But then all of a sudden, they start having all kind of medical side effects of these pills. Now they worry more because of those side effects. See, folks, you know, keep taking a pill on top of a pill, just creates a domino effect. That's what's causing us to worry more, because when we're taking more stuff to get rid of the worry, it's causing more worry. Another thing I was reading through the American Medical Journal magazine when researching all this on the internet, another thing which is going on, which is increasing worrying, is mental disorders. People have mental disorders. They do. It happens. See, the number of persons in the mental institutions has increased over the recent decades at an alarming rate. And thousands more with mental problems cannot or do not really get the treatment they need because they just don't have enough people to help them. Or worst off, they just don't have qualified people or doctors to really help them with their mental disorders. You know, a lot of doctors are so overworked and overwhelmed with so much increase in case of mental illness, they just, you know, really blow a lot of people off who comes through their office, you know, hey, just pay your fee. Here, I'm going to write your prescription. Get out of here. And those people go home and they're still having issues and they're worrying about things in their lives because they're not getting the right treatment. Now the forms of worrying that's causing worrying, this is a big one for a lot of people, alcohol consumption and drug abuse. And if you look in the news in the United States today, we got drug abuse out of yin yang. Not only that, but alcohol abuse. Not only that, meth and crack and cocaine. And you know, and I can't really believe that the states are allowing legal use of marijuana, but they are. You know, folks, you know, I'm not saying it will lead you to harder drugs, but you start messing around with that marijuana, and from what I'm understanding, the marijuana they're growing is actually 4 times more potent than the marijuana that was naturally grown way back then before they started legalizing it. All that's going to do is cause more addictions. So why to become addicted? And I was reading somewhere on the internet that an ounce of marijuana costs $400. $400 for an ounce of marijuana. Folks, what do you think is going to happen when the people ain't got the money to buy that hardcore marijuana? They're going to start worrying where they're going to get their money and what they're going to do, how they're going to get money in order to buy that marijuana. They're going to become addicted to it. You see where I'm going with this? These things starts causing and leads up to worrying. No wonder we're so messed up. No wonder. So now we kind of got a semi-understanding what worry is. Let's ask the real question, what is worry? What is worry? Well, just a little while ago, I said worry is a form of thinking that can be stressful if taken to the extremes. Now, key features of worry are that it is repetitive and non-productive. Now, you remember what I just said, you know, about this legalized marijuana stuff being $400 an ounce. What do you think is going to happen when someone does not have $400 to go buy more marijuana to smoke? What do you think is going to happen to them? They're going to start worrying because they're going to want that marijuana. They need that marijuana. And they're going to constantly think about that all the time. And that's going to push them to the extremes where either they're going to start pawning stuff or they're going to start reverting to other illicit drugs, or they're going to start reverting to something in order to buy that marijuana, and they're going to be stressed out on it and they're going to be worried about it. And folks, all that worry is going to do, and any worrying, period, is repetitive and non-productive because it produces nothing but hurts and pains. That's it. That's it. See, when we are worrying, we are thinking about something, like I said, over and over again, but do not resolve the situation or arrive at a solution to the problem. We don't. We never will. We're always focused on the problem, on the problem, on the problem. Now, at times, worry can be beneficial, such as when it encourages us to take action to change a situation. You understand that? At times, worry can be beneficial when it encourages you and I to take an action to change a situation. So, what category do you fall in? Are you a mellow person who never seems to worry about things you cannot control? Or are you seen as a worry wart, always thinking about what might happen? Now you think about that, you know, I have encountered many, many people who are constantly worrying. Believe it or not, I got people who are worrying about end times. They're worried about the end times. They're always worrying, 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 worrying. Every time I talk to folks like that, why are you so worried about end time events? The Bible clearly says it's going to happen, and it will happen. We just don't know when it will happen. But so many people are so wrapped up in worrying about when it's going to happen. And they really drive themselves up the wall. Why? If you're a born-again believer, you're okay. So if it happens tomorrow, or if it happens in 5 minutes from now, hey, we win. But if you're so constantly wrapped up in worrying, but you're not focused on the real Jesus, I suggest you get your mind off of it and get your mind back on Christ. But we see other people who constantly worrying and worrying and worrying. You know, we call them worry warts. They worry so much. They're like a frayed cat. You know, I know some of us here are cat lovers, you know, and I don't know if cats really think about this or not, but you get a cat And I've seen some people have said this, you know, when it was rocking in a rocking chair, they actually rocked over a cat's tail, and the cat got up and screamed and hollered and took off running. But ever since then, they noticed the cat, he's been so afraid of getting near that rocking chair. And cats worry about that chair every time they see it move. We have a cat, and he's so spooked about other things as bumping against his trailer and other things like that. You know, I always wondered, should I get that cat on some kind of chill pill? It goes back to what I just said earlier. Let me go get a pill for the cat to stop his worry. That ain't going to help. The cat and a lot of people and a lot of animals and a lot of other things, you know, people just get too much into worrying. Worry. How much is too much? Really? Let's think about it. How much is too much? Let us find out. Here's some things that you might want to think about. Do you worry about things that you recognize most people do not worry about, such as little things around your home? Do you find it very difficult to stop worrying and cannot relax as a result? Does your worry rarely result in you reaching a solution for a particular problem? Oh, that's a big one to think about. Do you believe that if you do not worry, and I have seen this with some folks, do you believe that if you do not worry, a terrible event will actually happen? Sadly, many people are worrying about if something's not happening to them in their life, they get worried about it. Wow, they do. Or do you worry about not being worried, or worry when everything is going well in your life? Some folks are like that. When everything's going hunky-dory and all that stuff, they start worrying about something bad's going to happen, and they keep focused on that. Well, folks, I'm going to tell you right now, you know, if things is going all right in your life, but you start worrying about something bad's going to happen, guess what? 9 times out of 10, you're going to cause it to happen because you're worrying about something going to happen. Now, I know that sounds like an oxymoron, but trust me, it happens. I have seen people do it. They worry so much about something is going to happen, they end up causing problems to happen. That's a fact. I've seen it. My dear friends, look, worry only opens the door for the devil. I spoke about that earlier. That's all it does. It opens up the door for him. How so? Well, the Bible also says it in James chapter 1, verse 8, when he says this, he says, he is a double-minded man, and notice his word, unstable in all his ways. Now, why is James telling us this? Well, friends, to me, the reason is this. Worrying is like a rocking chair. It's always in motion, but never gets you nowhere. You're in that rocking chair, always in motion, but you're never going nowhere. So, why do we struggle with it? And what good does it do? Now, like Arsenio Hall used to do back in his days, you go, Well, the answer is very simple, folks. Nothing. Like I said, why do we struggle with it? And what good does it do? Nothing. All it does is causes more harm than good. And here's a list of harm that worry can do to us. The first thing is dividing the mind. Now, the word worry comes from two Greek words, morizo, which means to divide, and nos means the mind. Morizo and nos, or nos, is that, I believe that's how you pronounce nos, which means the mind. See, when one's mind is divided between the material and the spiritual, it affects his allegiance. when one's allegiance is divided between God's will and man's will, here's the cause, worry. The second thing it does to us, puts us into trusting in things. Now, it's interesting to note, or it's interesting to notice, that our Lord discusses worry within the content of a discussion of material things, as we just read in scriptures. Could it be that one learns to worry when he puts more trust into things than he does God? Could it be? I want you to really think about that one for a bit. Could it be that one learns to worry when he puts so much trust into things rather than he does God? As I said earlier, it's a trust issue. Who are you going to trust? Are you going to trust in those things? Or are you going to trust in God? See, when our Lord says, and when you notice when I read this, when he says, "O you a little faith," that was Matthew chapter 6, verse 30. You see, folks, our minds are quickly drawn to an incident in which the Lord and the disciples were tossed about in a ship on the Sea of Galilee. Y'all can recall that story? We studied the Bible so much, we kind of really know most of the stories or parables that we hear. But you think about it when he says that, "Oh, ye a little faith." See, that's what he was talking about, because, see, they were tossed about in the sea in Galilee. Because, see, when the disciples cried out for their lives, they indicated their fear of drowning. They were afraid. They were in a boat, and that boat was getting knocked around left and right, and they were afraid. As I told you earlier, the element of fear came in. They were afraid of drowning, and when the Lord said to them, "O ye of little faith," or another translation says, "O you of little faith." Why? Why did he say that? Well, very simple. Because their faith was in the boat and not in Christ. You get that? Their faith was into a material thing. They were in a boat. The thing was floating. They knew it was keeping them floating, but they were not having faith in Christ. Folks, the boat was a material object. That's all it was. And anytime we place too much faith in things and too little faith in Christ, we too will worry about survival and 100 other things. Another thing that causes worry, or causes us to worry, is distracted by things. That's a good one there, distraction. Notice this, that Mary sat with Jesus while Martha was fixing supper. Y'all know that parable there too, the story. When Martha complained that Mary was not helping her. Notice when Jesus told her, Martha ran to Jesus, "Lord, Lord, do you not care Mary's not helping me? Look, she's just sitting here and I'm basically busting my backside to get everything together." And I think what she was trying to do to get Jesus to tell her, "Mary, well, you better get up and go help her." But no, look what Jesus said, "Martha, Martha, are you worried and upset about many things?" By the way, that's Luke chapter 10, verse 41. But he said, "Are you worried and upset about many things?" Folks, in a way, this is the way I look at it. Jesus was just telling Martha, "Look, lady, chill out. Let's put a man in there. John, are you worried and upset about many things?" Well, in other words, Jim said, "Dude, chill out. Chill out. What's your worrying going to solve? Trust me. I got it covered." See, when we are distracted by things, we learn to worry a lot. Would you agree with that? When we allow our minds to get distracted, and we allow our minds to get off of Christ, we are distracted by many things. So in closing, I'm going to leave y'all with this tonight, folks. Worry, and this is why I said it's negative, but worry is opposite of faith. Faith, we believe. Worry, we don't. When you're constantly worrying and worrying and worrying, as Jesus said to those guys in the boat, O ye a little faith. All you folks in here tonight, when you're constantly worrying, O you a little faith. I don't mean to step on toes, but Christ stepped on their toes when he told them, come on, folks. Believe in me. Come on, folks, tonight, believe in him. Because like I said, worry is the opposite of faith, and it steals our peace. It physically wears us out. And yes, folks, it can make us sick. When we worry, we torment ourselves. In fact, we're doing the devil's job for him. He don't have to do nothing. He just sits back and laughs because, look, I got Jimmy worrying about his problems right now. His lawnmower's breaking down. He ain't got no grass he's cutting right now. Things are really going bad for him. Oh, yeah, look, boy, he's really distracted right now. He's laughing when we worry. Folks, he's laughing. We're doing the devil's job when we worry. Worry, folks, I'm sorry to say it, but this is the fact and this is the truth. Worry is caused by us not trusting God to take care of the various situations in our lives. Let me repeat that again. Worry is caused by us not trusting God to take care of the various situations in our lives. That's what's worry doing to you. When you worry, you're not trusting God. And I'm paraphrasing this in a way you're telling God, God, I don't trust you. I don't trust you to take care of this. I don't trust you to see me through this. I don't trust you to handle this. I don't trust for you to provide for this. In fact, I just don't trust you at all. I'm going to keep worrying. I'm going to stress myself out over it. That's what you're doing when you worry. And the reason for this is because we, my friends, too often trust our own abilities, believing that we can figure out how to take care of our own problems. And yet, sometimes after all our worries and effort to go at it alone, we come up short, unable to bring about suitable solutions. So, what causes worry? Most of our worries can be traced to something material. I'm going to say this slow. If you're a note taker or not, I just don't know. I am recording this. I just don't know when I'm going to get it posted on the website. But I want you to write this down if you're writing. Most of your worries can be traced to something material. In his book right here, Francis C. Ellis tells about a businessman who drew up what's called a worry chart, in which he kept a record of his worries. Thinking about that, I'm thinking about doing that myself. I'm thinking about I might get me a little notebook and start keeping a record of my worries so I can reflect back on that later to see how silly some of it was. But he went ahead and created a record of his worries. And what he discovered, that 40% of them were about things that probably will never, ever happen. 30% concerned past decisions that he could not now unmake. 12% dealt with other people's criticism of him, and 10% were worries about his health. He concluded, and this is what he came up with, he concluded that only 8% of them were really legitimate. Only 8% of the worries were legitimate. Just like the man who made the chart because of his worries, he found out that his worries were not that big, but yet he and so many others are consumed by their worries. Folks, many people are consumed by their worries. Christians are even getting consumed by their worries. But I got a solution for you. I do. Not me, but the Lord. I want to rephrase that. The Lord has a solution for you. He has a solution for those of us who are born again. God himself said that worrying should not be a part of a believer's life. How does one overcome worry? In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, we are instructed to do this. Listen to this very carefully. This is Peter telling us in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. And he says this: cast all your anxieties on him because he, meaning Jesus, cares for you. That simple. What this is telling us, that God does not want us to carry around the weight of problems and burdens. He don't. See, if you recall another one, what did Jesus say? Cast all your burdens upon me, for my yoke is easy to carry while yours is heavy laden. He wants us to give us our yoke to him and take upon his. He done paid the hard part for it. He paid the hard part for it. You see, that's why I'm saying in this verse that God is telling us to give him all of our worries and concern. Why does God want to take our problems? Why does he want them? Very simple, folks. The Bible says it is because he cares for us. And folks, God is concerned about everything that happens to us. Yes, he is. No worry is too big or too small for his attention. And yet sometimes struggling because they are too bullheaded to ask for help. Many folks, Christians, are really struggling because really, in all honesty, it's a trust issue because, again, they are too bullheaded to ask him for help. But the humble get the help. They do. So if your way isn't working, if it's not, why not try it God's way? Why not? All of us would be better off if we learned to lean on God and ask for his help. But as long as we are trying to do everything ourselves, pay attention to this. As long as you are trying to do everything yourself, guess what, folks? God will let you. That's right. God, in a sense, is saying, well, you know what? You want to do it your way? You want to handle it your way? You think you can come up with a solution? Buddy boy, knock yourself out. Because you're insulting me. That's what you're doing. You're insulting me, telling me that you don't believe in me. So go ahead, knock yourself out. Get wrapped up in worry. Get sick. Get stressed out over it. Get into that worry what more mode. Or get into your pity party mode. Do whatever you want to do. But you know what? When you are ready and you humble yourself and you come to me, then I will help you. But other than that, you better get rid of that attitude. While you got it, I ain't going to help you. Sounds kind of hard. But folks, that's the facts. Because the reason why I'm saying that, he won't take care of our problems and worries. He won't take care of our cares until we turn loose of them and give them to him. Either we're going to do it or God's going to do it. But both of us aren't going to. When we give God our problems, He promises to give us the peace which transcends all understanding. You can look that up in Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. Folks, take this to heart tonight. Stop worrying about everything. Give it to God and live in grace, please. Grace isn't just divine favor. It's power. It's power. Don't waste another day of your life worrying. Don't. Determine what your responsibility is and what is not. And if you don't know what your responsibility is or what is not, put trust into His Word. Don't try to take on God's responsibilities. When we do what we can do, or in other words, when we do what we can't do, God steps in and does what we can't. Let me say this again, because I want real attention to this. When we do what we can do, God steps in and does what we can't. So give yourself and your worries to God and begin enjoying the abundant life that He has planned for you. Give it to Him. Enjoy life. Quit worrying. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we ask of You again. I know this was a difficult message probably to hear. I know it was a difficult one for me putting it together, you know, because, you know, I'm dealing with some of these things that I just said tonight myself. I'm going to be honest about it. I'm not going to stand here and pretend to these kind folks tonight, hey, I got it all together, because I don't. I'm not going to pretend to you saying, hey, are we faced with issues or problems? Yeah, we are. Are we allowing the Word to sometimes get the best of us? Yes, we do. I'm sorry to even hurt you, to even think about you can't take care of the situation. I know it's difficult, God, when we start looking at the circumstances. We start looking at materialistic things, you know. We just need to start trusting in You, what Your Word's going to say. I know sometimes we got to pay for our mistakes and pay for our wrongs in the past. And I know sometimes sin does have its consequences. I know we're just going to have to live with that. And we're just going to have to go through it. I don't know how to tell these kind of folks all the answers they're seeking tonight. I just don't. Sometimes I don't myself, you know, and this is why, again, I'm just going to have to dig deep and dig in and just look up to You. As I said in a Sunday message, you know, we need to be looking to Jesus, because, man, that's folks facing all kind of difficulties. So all I can do is ask of You to help. All I can do is ask of You to help these folks, to help everybody else who's worrying about something, to help them through their difficulties, and help them see the light that You have to offer. That's all I can do, God, is ask. And just leave it at Your feet. Like Martha, she was so worried about preparing things and doing this and doing that. And we should take a prime example of Mary, where she sat down at Your feet, Lord. She sat down and rested and listened. And she cast her worries aside just to listen to what You had to say. And maybe that's what we need to do sometimes too. We need to quit being like a Martha and be more like Mary and sit down and listen. So give us that wisdom, the peace, the comfort. Help us overcome the difficulties, the trials, the hardships, the pains, the struggles, the mental issues, whatever it may be. We need Your strength, power. We need Your power, Lord. We need Your help. we need it badly. So, Father, we pray to you tonight that all of us is dealing with something, and help us through it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Folks,